I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to episode 133 of the world's first Paul Weller fan podcast. I'm Dan Jennings, and 10 years ago, I gave up my live streaming career as a radio presenter with one big regret. Never getting to interview my hero, the legendary singer, songwriter, and musician, Paul Weller. This podcast exists purely to solve that issue. Welcome to Desperately Seeking Paul. On this episode, I am joined by another uber talent, Franco-Algerian singer, songwriter, and guitarist, Souad Massi. Souad began her career fronting the political rock band Atacor in the late 90s, earning her a reputation as a troublemaker in an Algeria torn apart by civil war. After fleeing to Paris following a series of death threats, she earned her first recording contract and has never looked back, a career spanning more than 20 years now, driven by this unfailing determination to speak out for what she values most, freedom and justice. Her songs are steeped in love, altruism and bravery. And our Weller connection comes in the 2000s, with Paul telling Uncut magazine in July 2008, "I've recently developed a bit of a thing about tango. I love that music. It's really emotional, passionate music." And he talks about being influenced by an Algerian singer called Souad Massi, who's been a huge inspiration recently. As you'll hear on the podcast, this led to the two of them creating music together at Black Barn Studio, Paul Weller HQ, resulting in a beautiful song called Let Me Be in Peace, which featured as the last track on Souad's album Liberty in 2010. We'll also hear about her new album, Sequana, released last year, drawing on folk, country, rock, calypso, the sounds of the Middle East and the Algerian desert. It's an absolute corker. The Times gave it 5 stars. Songlines said she has surpassed herself with Sequana, which from first to last sounds like a career landmark. This is going to be really special. Let's get into it. Souad Massi, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. I'm happy.
It's lovely to see you. And I tell you what, I've been digging so much of your music, which is awesome. I'm looking forward to chatting about you, your creative experiences, how you make these beautiful sounds and these albums and all of that. And of course, we'll talk about the connections with Paul Weller as well. But first of all, I want to understand this love of music is like a lifelong thing. It's from a very young age. This has always been within you, hasn't it?
Yes. I began to make music very young. I began to take lessons of guitar, classical guitar. I began to compose music with my brother at home. And I joined a flamenco band and after rock band. So we can say I began since I was 17 years old.
And is your brother still making music or did he go in a different direction?
I have two brothers who are musicians. Hassan play piano and another brother, Samir, who play percussion.
So this was a noisy household.
We had a chance because we have a very nice parent who love music and who encourage us to play music at home.
Now, growing up in North Africa, I'm assuming that music, culturally, music is really important in your part of the world.
Yes, I grew up in Algiers. My family play music, Shabi music, rock, and Spanish music. So a lot of influences from I was young.
I think Paul Weller would appreciate this bit because you mentioned the rock band. This is quite political, the rock band. Obviously, everything is going on, and we'll talk about everything that's kind of going on at the time back home, but Atacor.
Yeah,
I understood. I read somewhere that you had loved punk. You'd loved The Clash and even like early U2, a big U2 fan and that.
The rock I liked, it's coming from England and from America. You know, I was listening to Aerosmith, to Led Zeppelin, to The Jam. I was really surprised when Paul Weller asked somebody from my last record company to make connection for working together.
Yeah, that's just incredible because at the time, he was making his album 22 Dreams and he'd come to a bit of a crossroads that he'd gotten, like the old band had been disbanded. He was making this double album and he talks about what an amazing inspiration you were. And he really got into tango music particularly and found you just a really inspiring musician and loved your music. I mean, was that passed on to you? Did you know about that?
No, first no, but I was really surprised and happy because I know him when he was in the Jam band and I liked his voice. I find him really his superstar and with strong voice. And when I meet him on his studio, it was like a dream for me, you know. I couldn't really realize that I'm, you know, playing music and singing with him. It was really a big gift for me.
Now, we'll get into the story of you making music with Paul in a bit because he doesn't let you off. It's a pretty late night, but we'll talk about the session and you making music with Paul in a little bit. In terms of The Clash and The Jam and all those sounds and this love of rock music, I mean, that does seem a million miles away from the music that you've created as a solo artist. But that band, that rock band at the time, you were really pushing the political agenda. It was an angry band and rightly so, right?
So when I played with Atacor, there are a lot of people conscious politically. I learned a lot of things with them because I was very young from them. The situation was very hard in Algeria. It was in civil war and we tried to speak and to make songs who can express our feeling on this time. Because it was very hard and no hope and all was difficult to life, to make music, to go to learn. And so we, the rock music is the real music to express our feeling on this time.
I mean, it gets to the point where it's so bad and you start getting death threats and have to leave your hometown, have to go to Paris and flee your hometown. Is that right?
Yes, I travel. I come to France. It was very hard to make music, very hard to express myself. And I afraid for my life. And so I leave Algeria and I come to make my music because I wanted to be free and to be, how can I say, libre, to be free, yeah.
And you were leaving your family back home, presumably, were you?
Yeah, yeah. I had no choice.
Wow. And quickly, you get into creating your own music and a recording contract, a deal, that debut album. And I mean, it goes really big, really quickly, doesn't it? A huge success, particularly in France, The Storyteller, that first debut album. So much so that they make you a knight, don't they? Aren't you a knight in France? Is that right?
So it was quickly. I had chance, but I worked a lot of. So it's a big privilege for me to have this honors from France, who is the capital of culture.
This, yes, it's a Knight of the Order of Arts and Letters is what they call it. And we soon go global as well. So you're having success in the US, all around Europe. And one of the connections I wanted to ask about was Damon Albarn, Africa Express, because Damon had worked with Paul Weller on that project where they did a gig with the Syrian musicians and guests with, there's a chap who's been on the podcast called Sekou Keita. He's a Kora master. He's a lovely chap. You got invited to join Damon on the Africa Express project.
Yes, I met him. I don't remember the year, the same thing like Paul Weller, very happy and a big chance to meet him. He loved the African music and it's a good thing what he do to make meeting between African and English musicians. So very nice experience for me and for my musicians.
And it was a big collection of musicians that he got together, wasn't it? These were big bands. So you were workshopping an awful lot, I gather.
Yes, I was there with, I think Rashid Taha was there in the same time like me. Yeah, it was a very free and big workshop between all the musicians.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because Damon, I know Damon's music from Blur, and I'm guessing Blur would be a big thing for you as well. And then we have Gorillaz. But he's always been somebody who likes to push the envelope and try new things and particularly embrace different sounds, different cultures in his music as well. And I sense that from you. It's very hard to pigeonhole you into a box, you know, and in these days when we live in a world of streaming platforms, Spotify and Amazon, we get playlists delivered to us on a theme of music, you know, jazz or country or pop. But you seem to straddle all of those things. It's just a love of all kinds of music. Some of your stuff will touch classical or a bit of jazz or country. We've got banjo on the new album, for instance. So it's very hard to put you in a box, isn't it? Which is a good thing, I think, but you love all of it.
I don't want people put myself on the box. The music is free. For me, the music is a universal language. I love all music. I love folk, jazz, African, rock music. And I don't want to be set to play only one music. I want to be free and to try to make connection for all those music. Try to build the bridge from culture to another culture. And the only way for me is music to do that.
And for so many of us, it will be through the sounds of your music, the melodies, that, you know, how that that makes us feel. So the lyrics, I would have to translate and look up and understand the meaning behind the words and things. So it's a different experience, I guess, for some of us versus other. But ultimately, the sound is beautiful. But does that frustrate you that Philistines like myself wouldn't necessarily know what you were singing about all the time?
I understand. I understand. I speak mother tongue. I speak in Arabic, and I put the translation of my lyrics on my album. If people are curious, they can find easily the lyrics. So it's not a problem.
So let's talk about Mr. Weller. So he got in touch with your record company or your management and just wanted to get a connection. And was that about creating music, or did he just want to pass on the fact that he was a fan?
So I think he made another arrangement of one of my songs, who is Gheranta. He asked me if he can do that. So I was surprised and happy. And the second time, he asked me to meet him to see if we can do a song together. So I go to his studio with my director artistic, and I find him on his studio working with his musicians. He gave me a paper and pen, and he told me, you write your songs? And I say, yes. And he told me, so write a song now. And we will improvisation music. So I was surprised. So I told him, I need time. See, he told me, okay, 1 hour, 2 hours.
Was he like, get on with it? Come on, get on with it.
Yeah. So it was a big opportunity for me, and I like his music. So I improvise and I write a song about Let Me Be on Peace, it's about children who suffer in the world. And we do it, I think, in 2 hours, the song we do together. We don't make a arrangement, special arrangement or a mix. It's really the concentration of our meeting on this song. So really a very nice experience for me.
Wow. I mean, you make it sound so easy.
It was hard, but tension was there, and I was very happy to meet him. So we try to make this song for children. And this is the most important thing.
How different is that to your usual process? Because presumably, usually you're workshopping songs or you're writing lyrics, coming back to them, thinking what comes first, the words, the lyrics, or the melody? How do you usually work, and how different is it to Mr. Weller demanding that in a couple of hours?
They are not really a rule, you know, it's depend of the song. There are songs who you begin with the music and after that you write the lyrics, and there are a lot of other songs you begin to write the lyrics and you hear in your head music. So it's very different from song to another song.
And when you were writing with Paul, so you started with the words. Did you have a bit of a tune in mind as well?
I start with the work. With the word, sorry. And I told him what's the meaning of the song. And he began to with his piano and he improvised. It was like that.
Wow, this is mad. Oh, to be a fly on the wall would have been fabulous, eh? I understand you worked on it late into the night. Wasn't it like 3 a.m. you were working on this together? Because you're in the zone. You're just wanting to get it done.
You know what? We began to work. He asked me, do you want to drink something, to smoke? I told him, I don't smoke. I don't want I drink only water. So he told me, I'm not rock and roll, so really, I met very nice artist, really huge. I have a big respect for him, for his art. And he told me, he gave me some advice. He told me, don't take a lot of attention of the words. This, the most important thing that you are real when you song. People feel it. And it was a very nice advice for me. And now when I write, I work with his idea.
I love that. So you're taking the advice is something you've taken into future work.
Yeah.
That's really lovely, isn't it? I heard a story that you went to a French restaurant, all of you. Did you go to a French restaurant? Do you remember this?
Well, yes. You know, movement, lunch, because a lot of people come to him to take pictures. I don't know how they do, but he was very nice with people. So I understand that. In this moment that I was with the big stars.
You say that, but I heard that you went to this French restaurant and the waiters all recognized you straight away, but they didn't recognize Paul.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And this would have been around 2008, so just before Paul released 22 Dreams. And he was interviewed at the time, Uncut Magazine. I mentioned it earlier, and saying what an inspiration you and your music was to him, this love of tango that he had at the time. Really emotional, really passionate. So as well as making music together, did you talk about the types of music, your inspirations, the music? What kind of connection did you have outside of creating that song together?
When I spoke with him, I understand that he knows me and he knows both my work and my music. And when we spoke on telephone, mobile, we spoke about the new arrangement he did for Rerenta. And he told me, I hope we will find time together to work together to make a song. And you know what? It was for me, I didn't... I believe myself when I hear it, you know, and I would like really to make another song with him. It was a really very nice experience.
So the song that was like a version of yours, or you used yours, was it a song of his called One Bright Star on the album 22 Dreams, I think. It does. It is very tango-like. You can.
Yeah.
If I had any dance skills whatsoever, that would be the one, but sadly not. Now, look, let's talk about your latest album released last year and off the back of A Period for Musicians that has been horrendous in terms of COVID and the pandemic and not being able to tour, not being able to get out and tour your music. And so this album was created, presumably was created during that time of uncertainty and lockdown and this terrible time across the whole world. But off the back of it, we get this beautiful album. Was it a reaction to just not being able to get out into the world and not being able to tour and see places that you usually do and see your fans and stuff?
The period of COVID was very important for me because I had time to have a reflection, to try to find the answer to a lot of questions. So it was like a prisoner. So I had time to write and a lot of reflection about the sense of our life. And I write about human connection because it's important. A lot of people live alone and are sad. I speak about bad feeling of young people who are lost, who don't know COVID. They live in very far from reality. They don't know how to have a real connection about them. So I write about that.
You're right. I mean, I've got two young children, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old this Sunday, actually. So must remember that. Let me make a note. It's his party today, so we'll be all right.
Super. But,
I fear for them. I mean, honestly, the amount, even just technology now is so different from, you know, when we were young. They're constantly connected to devices, not experiencing the real world. It's such a challenge being a parent, but let alone what they're coming into, everything going on globally. Goodness me. I mean, you know, who'd want to be young these days, right?
I'm not against of technology because we need to work with technology, but we have to keep attention to our children because they are lost in their feeling, because that technology can make us very far from reality.
The other thing about the album is musically it takes you off almost like a world tour in a way of different styles from different countries. Was that the intention as well? It's like actually you're global trotting, but through your music in your home studio, presumably.
I think, you know, we say how many times we say 3 years? No, I missed traveling. I love all this music. I meet, you know, musicians from Portugal, from Brazil, from Africa, from America, because I love country music. And it's a wonderful thing to try to make a mixture of all those music. And I'm at ease with all those music. So it's a part of me.
Let's talk about some of the standouts of the album. We have to talk about Hurts because that will be one that surprises people in terms of the version of obviously the Nine Inch Nails song, but so well known as the Johnny Cash version. I would guess that you were scribbling down the lyrics and translating them into Arabic to do your version. But what made you want to record that song and create a version of that song for your own work?
I was very touched by the version of Johnny Cash. I see his video clip. I feel that he gave to this song another soul. And that touched me a lot of. And I like the lyrics and it's very deep. And so I do it in Arabic.
Because I would imagine the lover of rock music, when I first heard you'd done that song, was like, oh, she loves the Nine Inch Nails. And she's...
Yeah. I was listening to them. Yeah. But yeah. I like the version of Johnny Cash. It was, you know, I discovered this version. It was, you know, I think I heard it... when I discovered sixth time, you know, it was a big discovering for me.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it shows that power of just a great song whereby, I mean, the Johnny Cash one, but hairs on the back of your neck when you're listening to that song. But you've captured that as well. And like I say, it's a completely different language. But at the same time, when I listen, you're like, oh,
it gives you a chill, which is
remarkable. I'd like to talk about Mirage as well. Honestly, just beautiful. It's a Saharan trance about exile. My wounds will never heal, being some of the lyrics. It's just beautiful. And a duet, another duet with a guy called Piers Faccini.
I know Piers Faccini, like his voice and his work. And the producer of the album is Justin Adams. I think you know him. I make him listening to my first music about marriage. He talked to Pierce Faccini. He told me, I think it would be nice if you make a duet together. He gave with his voice another, add emotion to my music.
And did you, when you were writing that song, did you always have the intention of working with somebody else on it? Or was initially, it just going to be you and your music?
You know, first, I was in my period of composition and I thought about to make music, blues rock. So it's come naturally, I think, the last moment to go to the studio, I think the night of, night before, yeah.
The other thing as well, so like you say, on your albums, we can read the translations, so we have the lyrics and the meaning. And I wanted to talk about the album Closer, a song about a Chilean songwriter, singer-songwriter, this song called Victor, which is a tribute to Victor Jara, who was a Chilean teacher, theatre director, poet, singer-songwriter and communist political activist. But he was a massive, massive influence. It wasn't just in Chile, it spread right throughout the world. It was performed by like American folk artists, for instance. So had who huge amount of influence. Talk to me about the story of Victor and that song and his story as well, because it's a tribute to him.
So I would like to make tributes to Victor because when I was young, I was listening to him and I have big respect to his life and fight for freedom. It was, a symbol of resistance and I like his voice and his engagement.
And he was murdered by the Chilean military.
Yeah.
I mean, awful. Like they smashed his fingers so he couldn't play the guitar and all that.
Yeah.
This story is horrendous. What made him a controversial figure for them?
So he was a symbol of resistance and he was in the front of, the social movement. So he wanted the government of Pinochet wanted to stop him because he gives, hope and he was a leader and in Algeria and when I was listening to him a lot of resistant people come in the past in Algeria because it was the home of the revolution.
But honestly, you must be really pleased with the reaction to the album. I mean, one thing I should touch on actually, Paul Weller is very prolific in terms of the amount of material. We always seem to be getting a new album from Mr. Weller. I mean, every couple of years from you, we have a new album. You're clearly very, very creative. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, but Paul Weller is more prolific than me.
only just, but he's had longer so far, hasn't he?
Yeah, we are inspired about a lot of things, news and people. So we have a period like that where we have a lot of inspiration.
So are you doing this every day? Is it most days you're writing creative music, thinking about it? Or do you have periods where you're doing, you're watching box sets on the television or doing something completely different?
No, we have a period. So in our life of, we think about a lot of things and we have special period where we began to write. It's dependent on the song. Some song, for example, I can write it in, one day. Another song can take 3 months, for example.
And once your album's out into the world, so this was the latest album was released last October. This fabulous album, your 10th, called Sequana. So many incredible reviews from critics. The Times giving it 5 stars, saying that you've rarely sounded so lyrical. Your voice, pure and unaffected, speaks to the soul. A woman of her time who sings like never before about the causes close to her heart. So many people saying that this is a career highlight, a career best as well. And whilst we need more dates in the UK, lots of tour dates for this album around France and stuff and around Europe. So you must be really looking forward to getting back out on the road again.
What I'm going to do now, I'm on tour. We'll play in Womad in July. In July, you will have sun this time, I hope.
There's no guarantee, I'm afraid.
No guarantee, so.
This has been so fabulous to spend time with you. Thank you so much. I do have 2 final questions for you before we go, okay? You're allowed 1 Paul Weller song for the rest of your life. It can be The Jam, The Style Council, or Solo. What would you pick?
You know what? I like his voice. All his songs are Wonderful. I can choose. I know, when he speak, he has, you know, he don't need to sing. When he speak, his voice is wonderful. So I like all his songs.
The purpose of this podcast is to meet lovely people like you and hear your experiences of working with Paul and collaborating with Paul and your amazing career and to talk about your music. But it's also for me to get the interview with Paul Weller that I never managed during my radio career. If it happens, what should I talk to him about? What should I ask him? Do you think there's a topic that he'd appreciate as a fellow musician?
I want to challenge Paul Weller, you know. I want to give him a paper and a pen now and give him 1 hour to write a song. So, Paul, dear Paul, are you okay for that challenge?
And will it be as good as Let Me Be in Peace? That's the thing, right?
Yeah, I will wait the answer.
Okay, that's brilliant. I love that. One thing I should have asked you, actually, on the album, the song is called Let Me Be in Peace, and then it, in brackets, it says one take version. Did you just do it in one go and nail it?
Yeah, we do it like that. It was, you know what, very an experience who marked me for all my life.
Have you ever made anything that quick before or since?
No, it was the first time. You know, first I thought that it was a joke.
So, yeah, fair enough.
No, but you know what? I was, how you say, a very, for me, it's huge to meet him. So I take my pen and it was like, that's how, what I want to do. So the magic moment is was born from the studio. So it was really a very, very nice experience.
And was it always intended that it would be your song? Does that, do you know what I mean? In terms of it would be on your album rather than on his? Did you have a bit of a tug of war of who was going to have the song in terms of where would it go?
You know what? I didn't decide nothing. I was really happy to meet him, to sing with him. Who want to make the song? I don't care about that.
This has been so lovely. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
My thanks once again to Sawad Massey for joining me on the podcast, another fabulous guest. If you want to find out more, dig into the album, the new album that we talked about, make sure you check out the show notes to this podcast on my website. You can hear the collaboration with Paul and also Paul's song One Bright Star from the album 22 Dreams alongside Sawad's I Only Love You. Really nice to hear the two together. PaulWellerFanPodcast.com. You'll find the show notes to the podcast there. And whilst you're there, you can show your support. Just head into my store if you want to get exclusive merchandise, or you can buy a virtual coffee as well. Doing that over the past week, so on the roll call, Roger Clark, hello to you, sir. Thanks for your virtual coffee. Alex McLaughlin says, really enjoyed Richard Houghton's stories, brought back memories of sending off a postal order and a self-addressed envelope, then days later, nervously opening that envelope when it came back, praying it contained a ticket and not just the returned postal order. Simpler times. Hello to Phil Baker. Thank you so much for your virtual coffee. Really generous. Cheers, mate. Thanks so much. Get involved on my website, PaulWellerFanPodcast.com, and just head to the store. On the next episode of this here podcast, you're going to love this one. My very special guest, Haircut 100, Nick Haywood, is on the podcast, sharing stories of his love of the jam and lots of connections with Mr. Weller as well. Make sure you subscribe, you follow wherever you get your podcasts on Apple, Spotify, Google and more. You'll also find me on social media as well. Get in touch on Twitter at WellerFanPod or on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Paul Weller Fan Podcast. Get in touch. Be lovely to hear from you. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.